Dear listeners, welcome. I am Esmael Gillis, host of the Hairdressing Masterminds podcast. We feature inspiring people with extraordinary skills who are creative and visionary and bring value on every level of our lives. I present you Carmen Bosmans, world-renowned professional Belgian CrossFitter living and training in Dubai. Amongst the top 10 CrossFit athletes in Europe, the best CrossFitter in Belgium and personal trainer in Dubai. Dear Carmen, welcome on the podcast. Amazing having you here. So.
Hi Ismael. Hi. Thank you for inviting me on your podcast, first of all.
It's a pleasure having you here. It's a real pleasure having you here, Carmen.
All right. Yeah. Likewise. A bit about myself. I'm Carmen Bosmans. I'm born in Belgium and raised in a really small town called Bethlehem. Soon it got really, got too small, and I moved to Antwerp, where I discovered CrossFit. I was in uni studying nutrition, and then one of my friends was doing CrossFit and invited me to just come along and try it out. And that's actually where my old journey started, and that's like the beginning of where I'm now. That's about 6 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah, 6 years ago, I had like a massive change in my lifestyle.
Yeah, I think a totally changed your lifestyle, because you've become a professional athlete right now.
Yeah, so, like, let's say semi-professional, but yeah.
Okay.
It's a very hard thing to be professional in a young sport like CrossFit, but so that's why I'm a bit of a combination of a coach. I do like personal training and CrossFit coaching. On the side, I do some nutrition coaching as well, and then I try to balance that out with my training for my competitions and everything like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how did you end up in Dubai? What was your journey? So can you tell our listeners?
So I was doing CrossFit for about 3 years in Belgium. So I was living in Antwerp, training in Antwerp as well, CrossFit Antwerp. And I always wanted to move out of Belgium. I always had that urge of Belgium was too small, and I wanted to go somewhere. And I was doing competitions internationally, like to England, to Spain, to Denmark. And obviously you meet a lot of people on those trips. And I'm a very social person, so I always like chat with people, and just from chatting with people and then telling them I would be keen to move anywhere. Some guy who was already living in Dubai, his name is Phil Hesketh, who is also like a really good friend of mine now. He was living here and he moved like a couple of years before me and training in a gym called Inner Fight. And when he heard about me wanting to move out of Belgium, he told his boss, and his boss, Marcus, gave me a message on Facebook, and he said like, oh, here, you're keen about maybe moving to Dubai. If you want, I have a job for you. That was in 2015, the summer of 2015. He gave me the call, and from there on, 2-3 months later, I was in Dubai, living there.
Yeah. Okay.
So it went really quick. Yeah.
It went really, really quick. Okay, of course.
Yeah.
So and that was the beginning of your journey. So it's exciting. So Carmen. Living in Dubai.
Yeah.
For you, the big difference to accomplish what you're doing now in relevance to have been staying in Belgium, because CrossFit at the end is a very young sport.
Exactly. So the benefit on moving to Dubai was that it's just I wouldn't want to say easier, but there's more people wanting to spend or invest time in training and money wise and stuff. So it's just a better way to grow as a coach, most particularly. And also because there's a lot of good athletes living in this area. So it's good to train with other good athletes. And I would say in Belgium, there wouldn't be those opportunities to train with other good people. And also like just developing myself as a person and as a coach has been really great in the past 3 years living here, like learning a new language. Like I could speak English, but it wasn't great. So yeah, you have to push yourself on like studying more things and reading up on stuff and yeah, just getting better in different things like coaching, and then training as well.
So you really felt you were growing there as a person.
Yeah, as a person, as a coach. So there's
So you're working with an international mix of people.
There's so many people living here. Like Dubai is, there's not that many. There's 60% of the people who live in Dubai are expats. So they live from
60%.
I work with more even maybe. So I meet people from Australia, from New Zealand, England, Pakistan, India, like all over the world, Americans. So a lot of English people also. So from the UK, the British. So there's so many nationalities you work with and like everybody has a different way of how to deal with them. And it's just really interesting on meeting so many different people and seeing so many different perspectives of the world. That's probably my favorite thing about living here is meeting so many different cultures and it all works together. Everything works here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's one what I wanted to go onto because you see like the multicultural change we experience it every day, but you truly live it every day. So that's another difference. So and I'm glad to hear for you that it works very very well also. So nice to share that with us. What is your mission and what values do matter to you, Carmen?
I think my biggest mission is just making other people's lives better and that's through training, through educating them about food, about working out, just about the very, sometimes like for me, these things sound very simple, like sleep enough, eat good food, work out daily. But for a lot of people, and especially in the Middle East, where there's a lot of obesity, it's not so obvious to certain people. So that's what my mission is here, and just be an example to people here, example to girls. There's a lot of girls who can look up to us and I want to just motivate them to change their lifestyle and, pick up better habits, change bad habits and, by getting them into the gym, getting them to like to work out, getting them to push themselves, challenge themselves. So, that's pretty much my mission.
Yes, it's nice. So you inspire people by leading by example because you obviously live all those things yourself. So how difficult is it to make people make having a shift to like say having the right diet, and how important is that at the end also for an athlete or for a lay person?
Like changing people's mindset is very hard because a lot of people have this fixed mindset and they think, oh, I'm born this certain way. I've never done sports in my life. I can't do it. And that's what I'm trying to do is to push people towards a growth mindset where they believe that it doesn't matter if you're not born super fit, you can still become fit.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. If you were not smart in school, you can still be smart when you get older because you can still learn. That's the thing what I try to do is just push people in the right direction. And it's not something that happens overnight or over weeks. It can take like years with some people. You have to think about some people have been for 20, maybe 30, 40 years on that mindset where they believe that they couldn't do something. If it's sports, if it's studying, it's a job, it can be anything, but just trying to change that mindset where they, I'm a very positive person. I've always believed that no matter what, I could do it if I wanted to do it.
You put the work in.
Yeah, like you just have to just do it. Like sometimes people just tell themselves they can't and they push themselves further down. And I think that's what I try to show people, that no matter what, no matter who you were before, you can always become better.
Yeah,
if you put in some work, you can change, you can grow. As long as you just have to keep thinking positive. That's the most important thing.
What is for you the most important thing to establish a growth mindset? Because
believing that you can grow, not believing that. Okay, sometimes you'll do something and you'll fail in it, but don't see it as a failure. Just see it as something you learned. Like it can be, you try to do a run, like a 5K run, for instance, and you have this time in your head and you didn't achieve that time. But then the next time you'll know, oh, I went out too fast in the first 2K. Yeah, so you didn't fail. Like that's the most important thing. Don't see achievements as failure when you don't reach them. Like you set goals, if you don't reach them, then don't see it as a failure, but see it as an opportunity to learn something new.
Yeah, and to try to reach them later and to grow towards.
Yeah, growth. Yeah, exactly. Grow to whatever you want to achieve.
So, let's say for you personally, Carmen, if you experience like a failure or an apparent failure, how got that to make you stronger for a later success?
Yeah, so let's say like I wasn't good in school. I never had the best grades and I actually never finished school, to be honest. So then I had to go away around. So that's kind of a failure in maybe some people's minds. But then I saw that as an opportunity to do what I liked. I didn't finish school, but I was doing what I loved and I was working out and training and getting better in that. And now I've progressed I'm living in Dubai and it's been a really nice journey for me, comparing to people maybe who has finished school, but maybe they're not in that happy place as that I'm now. Yeah. So sometimes like society wants us to have tick certain marks. Yeah. You have to be like this or you have to done that to be successful, but it's not like that. It's whatever you put up into your head that makes you successful. So I've experienced that. And then like my biggest goal is now, like on a competitive level, is making it to the CrossFit Games, which is like the highest level. But I've been trying for 6 years and I haven't reached it yet. So like it's kind of like a failure, but it's also not, because I've got better every single year. I've got better. But I can't control how much better other people get. So I just have to be okay with that in a way. And like this year, I'll work on different things than last year and we'll see. And in the end, hopefully I'll make it to the games. But let's say I never make it to the games, then that's not the end of the world either. Like in the end, it's just sports. Like,
yeah. And you did a whole journey and you had the
kids. Yeah. And I enjoy
learn a lot. Yeah,
exactly. I've learned so much in the past 6 years and I've enjoyed every single moment. So yeah, if I make it to the games, sweet, awesome. If I don't make it to the games, I still got this great time and I've experienced so many nice, I've met a lot of nice people. I've learned a lot. So there's nothing lost in the end. No. Yeah.
So where do you feel there is a difficulty to be a top CrossFit athlete in the world today, Carmen?
So like I said, CrossFit is a very young sport. Maybe the first year it started was 2007. So that's about like 11 or 12 years that there's been this competition. So it's very young. Obviously, if you want to be a professional athlete, like you still need to make money. Yeah. Obviously, there's not that many money to make in a young sport like this. If you're at the very top, you make some money. So also because of CrossFit is a very high demanding, like you have to put a lot of work in. There's so many different parts of being, aspects. And like, you have to be able to be a good runner. You need to be a good swimmer. You need to be able to row, but you also need to be lifting heavy weights. You need to be Olympic weightlifting. You need to be good in gymnastics. You need to be walking on your hands, climbing on ropes, doing pull-ups. Like, they keep inventing, like, not inventing, but they can keep adding new stuff. So there's never, there's not enough time almost to train everything at the same time. So it's very time consuming.
Yes.
Like, most, the professional athletes, they will train maybe an hour in the morning, then another session of an hour and a half, and another session of an hour and a half. That would be ideal. Yeah, and then between those sessions, you also need to rest, obviously. But let's say, like me, I'm like semi-pro. I'm like high level, but not the highest. So I also have to do a full-time job. Like, I also need to coach. Yes. So I still do my hours of training. I still train 3-4 hours a day, but I also need to work about 5 to 8, sometimes 10 hours a day, depending on how my PTs want to come in. So, like, sometimes I'm in the gym for 16 hours straight. But for me, it's fine. But it's also, on a recovery's perspective, like, it's not enough recovery. And recovery is almost the most important thing also if you want to be a professional athlete.
Yes.
So finding that balance of working out enough, resting enough, and still having time to make money, that's where it's very hard to be at that top level. And obviously, some people want to, like, you have to make sacrifices, yeah? You can make the sacrifice of, oh, I'm just going to live on the bare minimum, have no money, and just see if I can fix it, that I just can pay my rent and all. You can do that, and maybe you reach to the top one day, but also, that doesn't make me happy. I'm a person that likes to live. I like to go out. I like to be social. I like to do stuff. So, to do these things, in the end, you need money to do that.
Yeah?
So the balance I try to find is to be as good as an athlete and still doing a lot of social stuff.
Yeah, of course. But that's also development you're gonna build up. And that's something I'm sure if you can combine perfectly. So Carmen, could you also tell, because when I hear you tell your day, How about food? What is your diet looks like?
So I'm macronutrient based. So I work with a nutrition coach as well, who just helps me a bit, making sure I hit my numbers. So for instance, now because training is not super high, I'm eating about 275 grams of carbs, 60 grams of fats, and 160 grams of protein over the day. And I can pretty much do that however I want. Obviously, around training, I'll have more higher carb meals and lower on fat, and then I'll have the fats a bit later in the day. So I just eat basically 90% of what I eat. It's high quality whole foods, just lots of vegetables, potatoes, rice, even pasta. Like, I'm not gluten intolerant. I don't believe in cutting out stuff that doesn't affect you. Like, these days, everybody's gluten intolerant and you should eat this or shouldn't eat that. Like, there's a lot of commotion about it. And I think people should just stick to the basics and then they'll be fine. Like, portion size, the more you work out, the more you should eat.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, yeah.
So is it a fact? Because I always see that like the paleo diets are combined with nowadays with the CrossFit world and.
So paleo diet was something that was very big in the beginning when CrossFit started, because they were saying, "Oh, you don't need carbs," and that was actually to change a bit of the lifestyle, because you also have to know, like, CrossFit is an American sport.
Yes.
So in America, people have really, really, there's a lot of people who are overweight and have bad habits. So what they did is kind of like, oh, follow paleo diet, like low on carbs, cut out all sugars, which is good in a way. But then if you look at it from a professional athlete's perspective, because CrossFit is high intensity, and what you need when you do high intensity, carbohydrates. So if you cut out all carbs, you're not going to recover. So if you have really, if you do high intensity training, even if it's CrossFit, it can be any other training. It can be spinning. It can be anything else that raises your heart rate really high. Your body's going to need carbohydrates. So if your body doesn't get those carbohydrates before or after, then it's not going to recover good. And what's going to do is it's just going to store on fats more. So a paleo diet is a good way. It's good and bad. It depends on what kind of level of athlete you are. And the view is a bit changing now. Like they're stepping a bit away from the paleo diet and more on the macronutrient-based stuff. So just tracking your food daily, making sure you hit the numbers. And the good thing with that is it's more sustainable. If you count macros, it's much more sustainable in the way that you can afford to eat something that is not 100% healthy once in a while.
Yeah.
If you make it fit. Yeah. Obviously 90% of your day should be fruit and vegetables, nuts, seeds, potatoes, lean meats, fish, stuff like that. But if you want to eat an ice cream when you're out with your friends, you can still make that work. Yeah. Compared to when you're on like a certain diet that says, oh, you can't eat A, B, C, D. Sometimes socially it gets harder. And then people would maybe go all the way from the track and just like binge on really bad food and I feel really bad. So it's a bit,
It's like a bit of psychological effect you create also.
Very.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like some people are very good with the paleo diet and I know a lot of people who do it and have really good results with it. But then also for some people, like let's say some people have cut out carbs completely and they're still not happy with how they look and they're still actually gaining weight, they're training super hard and they're still gaining weight and they're like, oh my God, I'm barely eating anything. What can I cut out? So the problem there is that they're under eating massively. So now the problem now is people are afraid to eat because of all these things they hear in the media and on the internet. Yeah. They read all these different diets and do this and do that. And there's so much information and they should just try to stick to the very basics.
Yeah, because I think there's also an overload on visions and on
exactly.
And
I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying like stick with the simple things. Like just weigh your food. Make sure you have a certain amount of carbohydrates. Balance like about 50-55% of carbs. 25-35% of fat, and then the rest the remaining is protein. If you stick with that, you'll pretty much be okay. Now, obviously, if you need help with that, it's always good to find a nutrition coach who has the knowledge and who can guide you in the right direction.
Yeah, because it's an evolution also. Your body's going to react on it, and then you have to adjust a little bit.
If you've been under eating, let's say for months, maybe some people have been under eating for years and they're still not having the right body type that they want, then they should try to rebuild their metabolism is just shut down. So it's not working. So you need to rebuild that. And by doing that, you need to eat more. And for a lot of people, it's very scary to start eating more because they still associate eating food getting fat or like getting bigger. But eating the right foods is not going to make you better. It's actually going to make you lean out. Your body's going to be refueled. It's going to be full of energy. You're going to sleep better.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the benefit of working with a nutrition coach, actually.
How do you feel, Carmen, about the vegan diet that's coming up nowadays?
Honestly, I've been on a vegan diet for a little while because I was actually eating a lot of meats because I was more on like a paleo diet like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of gut issues, but like really bad. Like I had to go to the hospital even, like I got really bad inflammation in my gut. And, I had to take like certain medication. But then when I did that, I stopped eating meat completely for like 3-4 months maybe.
Yes.
And it helped. Like it gave my gut a bit of a
rest.
A time to recover, a rest, yeah. Well, I didn't feel great with it. Like, I felt like snacking the whole time. I didn't feel full.
Yeah,
fulfilled. So I fulfilled. Like, I was almost eating worse being on a vegan diet than not. So once my gut, my stomach was much better, and I didn't have to take the medication anymore, I started to reintroduce fish. So I started to eat fish again. And now I still eat red meat, but I only will have red meat maybe once a week. And then mostly I'll have one fish meal and one chicken or turkey or lighter meats. Yeah. Like lean meats. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. And on your perspective on dairy, for example, you eat like lots of yogurt.
So dairy is a bit tricky because, obviously a lot of people are lactose intolerant. I'm not lactose intolerant in a way that I would feel bad or bloated, but my skin gets really, if I eat a lot of milk products, my skin gets really bad. So I try to just avoid having milk. The only time I actually have milk is when I have like a macchiato or something once in a while. But that's it. Yeah. Or like when I said, like if I have an ice cream once in a while, I'll probably have something, but I wouldn't drink like liters of milk or stuff like that. Yeah. The thing is, you just have to test things out. Like, it's not because 50% of the people you know are lactose intolerant or gluten intolerant that you're going to be like that.
Of course. Well,
I think that's just the biggest problem now. People see something, and to be honest, like a lot of people have issues with gluten and dairy. So for a lot of people, it makes sense to just cut it out for a while, see how you feel. Do you feel better? Yes. Okay. Then don't have it. If you don't feel like you need it, then it's fine. You cut it out. If you don't feel any better by cutting something out, then why you cut it out?
Of course.
Yeah. That's my vision. Like simple, like less is more.
Yeah. Logically. Yeah. Okay.
Logically. Okay.
So when you feel overwhelmed or a little bit confused, what are the things you do to get your focus back? For example, because I can imagine.
I would go out because I'm very set in my training, my routine. I wake up 4:30 a.m. mostly every day. And I'll go to bed mostly 4:30, 5:30, latest 6, and that's in a weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. So between that, I always wake up. I have my same routine. And I'll go to bed hopefully not later than 9. If everything works well, I'll be asleep by 9 p.m. So if I feel like I need to break that routine because I feel like it's getting too caught up in the routine, actually, I'll just go out. I'll just call some friends, see what they're up to. Maybe we go paddle boarding or wakeboarding or just do something different that's not in the gym. Sometimes we just go for drinks. We go for a brunch. Brunches is very big here in Dubai. Try not too many because it's not the healthiest way. But sometimes you just need to find what gives you a way out. And if that refocuses you, then that's fine. For me, that's the best thing. Just go out. Have a few beers, enjoy it, and then back to it. Yeah.
So it's like giving your mind a little bit of relaxation, your body also, of course, obviously, and then you go back in.
But obviously, it also makes sense to put on goals, like having a goal and knowing why you do something. So you really need to know the why, because you're not always going to be motivated to do certain things. Motivation is there on certain days, but it's a lot of the time you're not going to be motivated. So then you need to know, why am I actually doing this? If you don't have a why, then what's going to happen when you're not motivated? You're just going to say, I'll just skip this or I won't do this.
It's easy to make excuses and don't do the work. Because
exactly.
Where I wanted to go with you for a moment is what I see is if you want to be successful at anything, doesn't matter what you do, you always have to put the work in it to get there. So, and to put that work in and to keep doing it, you need also, like you say, a why to keep you motivated. Yeah. So you have like a ritual, like for an inspirational philosophy or habit that helps you improve your life on those more difficult moments? Like, for instance, having affirmations and you write them down, for example, or what do you do?
In the beginning of the year, I'll sit down with my coach and we'll put on certain goals for that season. So there will be certain competitions I want to compete, and then there will be the big goals, like certain competition, qualifying for that competition or doing well in that competition. And then there will be small goals. So that would be more like training wise. Let's say, oh, I need to be able to run this 5K in this time. So that's a small goal. So, and then making up all those small goals will make me eventually reach my big goal. But if I would only think about the big in the end goal and I would only focus on that, it looks really far away. So what I do is like just have little checkpoints, and I go from checkpoint to checkpoint to checkpoint, and then you reach it on the way. You reach your goal by doing little steps. Yeah.
So
putting out, that's probably the best thing. And enjoying what you like, because you asked me like what like helps you is enjoy it. Like if I'm not enjoying something, I'll change something about it. Like I'll change my environment, or I'll go to another gym, or I'll make sure somebody comes over and trains with me, or, you know, like you need to be having a good time, because if you're not having a good time, it's not sustainable. So, and like, there's different things that can happen. So just like me to realize, like I always like, sometimes I'm just in my bed in the evening and thinking about how was my week and like, how did I feel over general, like most of the time, was I happy or was I not happy? And I've had times where I wasn't happy. And what I did was I had a little book next to my bed and I would just write down everything, actually what happened, like a journal. Yes. Just write it all down, like feelings. Yeah, it's just writing it down helps you realizing it. And sometimes you get really upset by something so little. You get upset by something little. And then when you write it down and you look at it and you think about, oh my God, why was I actually so upset about this? It just looks so stupid now. So, but if you wouldn't write it down, it would just sit in your mind and it just builds. And then the next day something else builds on top. And that's how you like almost would get depressed or in the worst way than that.
Yeah.
So just doing like little things to avoid stuff like that. That helped me a lot.
Yeah. It's a strong one also. So, when you see, for example, what we experience on a daily basis is when we work with younger generations, younger people nowadays, people who are especially choosing the whole time for what we call instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And you see it happen more and more that it's more difficult to get them involved and inspired and motivated to do the work they need to do to get somewhere. And I don't know about your idea about this, but maybe it starts in the education system. Maybe it starts in the surroundings, the people that surround them, or the way they are.
I think because people get told that like you can't do something, or like telling the younger people that they can as long as they put the effort in, like nothing. If it's easy, it's not good enough. Like I think people should change from a mindset where like some people would like to have things easy and be happy with, if it's easy, they feel safe and it's good for them, but they should try to be in a state where it's hard and they enjoy it, that it's being hard.
Yeah.
So, and if you enjoy having it hard and working out hard or working hard on something or studying hard, that's how you're going to get better in whatever you want to do in life. So yeah, challenging yourself. And I think that's the most important thing for the kids these days. Like we need to make sure that we challenge them in whatever they do. Yeah.
How do you think we can bring value to inspire them?
Oh, that's a bit. Can you rephrase the question?
Yeah. Like, so how do you think we can bring value to inspire them? Because is it more like being?
Well, yeah, just giving a good example, I guess, like showing them that they can leading do whatever, example. Leading by example. Yeah, of course. That's what I try to do. I try to be the best person I can be just kind to people as well. Just showing, because there's so many bad things happening and it's all what they've been grown up with. Because I know when I was little, I didn't see that much on the news, but now you have all the social media, you see all these bad things happening in the world everywhere. So kids grow up with this idea that everything is maybe going downwards, but they need to believe that they are the people who can change it. So yeah, it's a tough question. Like what can we actually do?
Yeah, because it's a tough question, but it's also, I think, a very important one, because, you know, Carmen, what we experience, what I experience also in our environment here in Belgium and also when I go abroad, is there never has been a higher level of people who are depressed, or if you read something here, it's always about burnouts. And I think most of the time it's also like a mental problem.
And why it's
important to fight it is because younger people need to get other ideas, because the world isn't that of a bad place. Okay, there are a lot of things, bad things happening.
Yeah.
But exactly. How much good things are happening also?
Yeah, true. I think social media is a very big factor in that, people being depressed because they see. Like, you see people post on Instagram certain things, like only the positive things, and people don't really post negative things that happen in their life. So if you're a kid who follows certain people and you only see the good things that happen in their life, you never see the negative side of things. But it happens to everyone, but it just doesn't look like that. It's just a bit of a scam, yeah?
Yeah.
So sometimes...
It's
not realistic. And I think the most important thing is that sometimes we just have to put our phones down and go back in time and have a conversation with people and being in the moment with the person and not being too, and I'm saying this now, but I also know I do this. Like I am on my phone the whole time and then I sometimes catch myself doing it and I'm like, okay, you're going to put your phone away now and just be wherever you are with the person you are.
Yes.
So, it's just, I think, yeah, the phone is a big thing, and it's hard because it's now like the culture, huh? Like everybody walks around with a phone. We don't walk around in the park and look around. We walk around in the park and we look at our phone.
Yeah.
We don't look around through the trees. We don't look who's walking next to us.
Yeah.
We'll be so much focused on our phone or scrolling on our Instagram feed that we'll bump into someone and don't even give them the time to say, oh, sorry. How many times that has happened to, like...
It happens all the time.
The time, yeah.
All the time, yeah. So maybe we need to grow also on that factor, because I think social media is an incredible thing. Incredible.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great thing, like on... growing business, growing like your own business or whatever, it's good for those things, and it also brings out a lot of content, but it's also a lot of negative things about it. And again, it's all about balance. Like I was saying, in nutrition, there needs to be balance. It needs to be balance in how you arrange your day. There needs to be balance in how much you spend time on the phone.
Yeah, maybe
we can develop
that kind of etiquette around it.
Yeah, and I think the balance is different for every person. There's no such thing that I can tell you what the right balance is for you, but I think that's why you need to try and just sometimes say one day, okay, I'm not going to be on my phone from this time to this time. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, you might miss a call, but that's the worst thing, right?
Okay.
That's it.
You can do it afterwards again.
You pick it up and you call them back, or you send them a message.
Yeah, it's so easy.
So it's true. Also, but I'm not saying it's convenience.
Yeah.
So
Okay. Carmen, I very much enjoyed our conversation, you know.
Yeah, likewise.
It was a real pleasure having you here. And I wanted to also thank you very much for sharing these tremendous insights and knowledge you have to share with my listeners. I would like to thank you very much. Hope to see you soon again on another talk. Maybe we could meet live. We would see what happens in our lives.
Yeah. We can do a 2.0 podcast. Yeah.
Okay.
It's sequel.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, good. I would like to thank you very much for this conversation. And
all right.
We see each other later on. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Cameron.
Okay. Thank you. Bye. Have a good day. Bye-bye.